We're going to start with John Kreitz, and before he comes up, I want to tell what I think is a remarkable story. Jack, when he graduated and went off for his first job in Texas, he had to come back from Texas just a month or two later because Professor Super had organized an APA symposium in honor of his mentor, Harry Dexter Kitson, at the end of Kitson's career. And was it in New York, Jack, too? It was even in New York. And Jack was on the panel. So Jack was on the panel for Kitson's memorial 40 or 41 years ago and is here today to time bind with us and talk about some of his experiences with Professor Super. Dr. Kreitz?
I think I'd like to take the option of talking about personal experiences with Don. I call him Don, although he encouraged me to call him Don. It took me 2 years to quit calling him Dr. Super. He could be kind of formal sometimes, but not under the surface. And it was a remarkable experience. What I like to focus on is his capability, expertise, and great knowledge, along with Dr. Al Thompson, his colleague for many years, in I may choke up a little bit, in mentoring. I think that's a concept, a cluster of behaviors for a professor that are underrated. And both Don and Al were my mentors. I started out just as a walk-on. I was a football player, so that's what the term is. You know, you're a walk-on. And I'd been in the Air Force about 3 years as Chief of Career Guidance, or SAC, and was mustered out in 1953. And I thought I could, you know, immediately go into a personnel job. It was both personnel and career guidance. And so I came back to the New York area. I'd grown up here and pounded the pavements for, 2 months, I'll bet, in the summer. So you've had a taste of the summer in this area. And I couldn't find anything. Essentially, what they told me was that if you want to get into personnel, you have to work your way up for 20 years in the sales organization. That's the line organization. Then you can go into the staff positions. Pardon me. So I went home one night, discouraged, hot, humid, and I sat down on the couch and I picked up a copy of the Ladies Home Journal. And I was leafing through it, and in the center section at that time, they had a series of articles about what your child should be. Pardon me. And this one happened to be by then-President Russell of Teachers College, Columbia. Why your child should be a teacher. Well, I knew, of course, being from this area, about Columbia and its reputation. In fact, I thought at one time of going there and studying history. But I thought, well, you know, that might just be worth following up. And so I went over to TC, and I didn't meet Dr. Thompson until a little bit later, but I got into higher educational administration, and I thought I might combine that with a history doctorate. And I lasted about one semester in that. I found it wasn't my cup of tea. And so I went to Al, and he became my first advisor at TC. Pardon me. And he had a two-year personnel psychology certificate program. And that seemed like it would be right up my alley from the Air Force. And so I entered that and started taking courses with Robert Thorndike, and Elizabeth Hagen, and statistics with Helen Walker, and I just became fascinated with this. And the career pattern study, which Don had initiated, had been about, two or three years old about that time. And so I was really I was appointed as a research assistant on that project, and second generation, really. I mean, there were the initial research assistants, and then I was in the second generation. And that gave me some support. The GI Bill gave you $135 a month, and so you had to have some additional income with a newly born baby. And so, make a long story short, Don and Al brought me into the fold. And I think, and possibly one of my fellow students, Marty Hamburger, would attest to this, they really created an atmosphere of very free but responsible interaction in a mentoring sense. I would characterize the relationship I had both with Don and in sort of a psychoanalytic term, which I was influenced by in those days, of object relations. There wasn't a father-son, professor-student kinds of one-up, one-down relationships. It was a truly teaching and mentoring situation. And both of these gentlemen were excellent at it. So we had the career pattern study going, and we talked about the concept of vocation maturity, which has subsequently become career maturity. And one reason I got into career maturity was because we used to have these tapes from the career pattern study, and this all, I'm sure, predates all of you, but these were wire tapes around a little spool about that big, and we were sitting in the corner with the tape recorder and a typewriter making transcripts, and all of a sudden you had a foot pedal, you know, to start and stop it. Well, often the wire would spin off into the corner, and it would take you more time than making the transcript to put it back on the spool. So we had fun about that. It was a good experience. And I think a lot of conceptual matter came out of those years. Don was in the process of revising Appraising Vocational Fitness, which he had originally published in 1949. And he asked me if I would do some of the background research on it, abstracting articles. And so I was thrilled with the prospect of doing that with him. And I did. And down the line, he invited me to be co-author, second author on it. And so that project was finished in 1962. We had discussed doing a subsequent book on career assessment that we never really got to. He came out when I was head of the counseling psych program at Iowa for a colloquium, held his own with the experimental psychologist very well, and we outlined that book, but we just never got to it. But the relationship was a very fine one. I think, as Mark pointed out, one of the things I learned early on about Don was his capacity as an empirical integrator. He had a fascinating capacity to pull the literature together and make some sense out of it. And certainly in Appraising Vocational Fitness, well, there was a lot of literature to pull together. And he did the same thing in his 1957 book, Psychology of Careers. And in his articles over the years, why, it was always integrative. And I think that you see that reflected in the papers today, that he was an empirical integrator as well as a conceptualizer. So we have the rainbow. And he was always, you know, pursuing some way of integrating, whether it was verbally or conceptually, what was going on in the field, and contributing new ideas by the same token. So I remember when I had finished my PhD there and had gotten tired of the wire spools, and I said, we were in the TC cafeteria, and I was heading off to Texas to my first position, and we're having a cup of coffee, and I said, would you mind if I developed an inventory instead of using the wire spools? And I think he was tired. I think he was tired of the wire spools too, you know, because it took forever to get these, and the error rate was about 25%, you know. So he said, no, go ahead, Jack. And so aspect of his mentoring. He launched my career, asking me to be a co-author on Embracing Vocational Fitness, and he also gave me the freedom to develop inventory measure of what we call vocational maturity then, and I've subsequently called career maturity. And that stream of research is still going on. I've just revised it this summer, and we're going to push ahead. Mark and I are working on it together to test out still further some of the hypotheses which Don laid the ground for along the way. So I think I'll stop there, because my main point is that maybe an unrecognized aspect of Don Super is his mentoring.